Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Friday, May 26th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Really worth your time to go out there and find stuff to listen to. I will almost guarantee you that you will run out of time to listen to everything you want to. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can then commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link. It'll provide you a much more thorough description than I just did. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask you to pass that link along. While I'm at it, I also want to put out, I have shared out on my Facebook and my Twitter as well. You can find me Wayne Floyd. I think that I'll come up on both that way. I've shared out there as well a Give, Send, Go campaign for my brother in Christ, Nathaniel Jolly. Nathaniel and Eki Tepsa Pornchai do the Truth Be Known podcast. Great brothers in Christ, but Nathaniel has hit a point that they're up in Alaska and they're a church plant, so he's not on a salary up there at this point. But their only car, which they bought used when they moved there, engine has completely broke down. And it's going to cost them $7,200 to replace it, which obviously they don't have, nor do they have a salary to come up with it. So they've set up a Give, Send, Go to pick up $8,000, see if they can get help for that. So definitely if you want to go find that on my Facebook or my Twitter, and then go on over there and do the same thing. Pray for them, prayerfully consider giving to them, and let people know that it's out there. Just the work Nathaniel has been doing out there is just wonderful, and definitely needed where he is. So if any way possible you can help, please do so. I want to go ahead and apologize for being out of pocket there for a good 3 days. Unfortunately, early in the week, wife and I got hammered by an illness that came out of nowhere and took us out of the game for a couple of days. So even to the point we both had to go to the ER and be hooked up to stuff and everything else. So I'm very, very sorry I wasn't able to get anything done, and it's made it where I really wasn't able to get any kind of Bible study stuff ready for the end of this week or anything. So what we're going to do today, because we missed 3 days of Bible reading, so what I'm going to be doing is today, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm going to be doing double Bible readings so that by Monday we will be back caught up doing our normal amount. And on Monday evening, God willing, we will pick back up on our Bible study in the Gospel of John. I also want to let you know, I'm going to be, if you're in the area, and I would always recommend that you come join us at Vail Valley Baptist Church here in Vail, Arizona. You can find us at vvb.church. Come see us on a Sunday morning. We start our services at 10:30, and Pastor Jay is a wonderful, wonderful expositor of the Word, wonderful, wonderful teacher. He has also blessed me where he allows me to preach every once in a while, and I will be preaching this Sunday. We are working our way. Jay and I have been working our way, and mostly him. I preach every once in a while, but I work within the same verses as he does. So he usually schedules out and lets me know which verses I'm going to be covering. So I'm going to be preaching on Matthew 9 verses 1 through 8, and it's Jesus's power over sin. So would love to have you there. It is this Sunday, May 28th. Again, service starts at 10:30. That's in Arizona time, 10:30 Arizona time. Arizona time is always UTC, Greenwich Mean Time, -7. So you're welcome to join us. If you can't join us locally, we do live stream on Facebook as well. So you're welcome to join us there and listen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Like I said, we got a lot of reading to do. We've got four, almost five chapters in 2 Samuel alone that we're reading. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be starting with our 6-day morning prayer. It's called the Gospel. Let's pray. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy goodness infinite, thy compassions unfailing, thy providence boundless, thy mercies ever new. We bless thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. All right, and now the morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 26th. Make sure I got the right date. Yeah, I do. Okay, sorry. Just been some days. All right, and our text that is based on is from Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Care, even though exercised upon legitimate objects, if carried to excess, has in it the nature of sin. The precept to avoid anxious care is earnestly inculcated by our Savior again and again. It is reiterated by the apostles, and it is one which cannot be neglected without involving transgression. For the very essence of anxious care is the imagining that we are wiser than God, and the thrusting ourselves into his place to do for him that which he has undertaken to do for us. We attempt to think of that which we fancy he will forget. We labor to take upon ourselves our weary burden, as if he were unable or unwilling to take it for us. Now this disobedience to his plain precept, this unbelief in his word, this presumption in intruding upon his providence, is all sinful. Yet more than this, anxious care often leads to acts of sin. He who cannot calmly leave his affairs in God's hands, but will carry his own burden, is very likely to be tempted to use wrong means to help himself. This sin leads to our forsaking of God as our counselor, and resorting instead to human wisdom. This is going to the broken cistern instead of to the fountain, a sin which was laid against Israel of old. Anxiety makes us doubt God's loving kindness, and thus our love to him grows cold. We feel mistrust, and thus grieve the Spirit of God, so that our prayers become hindered, our consistent example marred, and our life one of self-seeking. Thus want of confidence in God leads us to wander far from him. But if through simple faith in his promise, we cast each burden as it comes upon him and are careful for nothing, because he undertakes to care for us, it will keep us close to him and strengthen us against much temptation. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. All right. Well, well said. Okay. So we are going to get into our reading now. So like I said, we got a lot to read. We're going to start in 2 Samuel 2, verses 12 through the end of the chapter, then 2 Samuel 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're going to read John 13 and the first 14 verses of John 14. We're going to read the first 32 verses of Psalm 119 and Proverbs 15, verses 29 through 32. So 2 Samuel 2, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Abner, the son of Ner, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon with the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David, went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, "Now let the young men arise and hold a contest before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So they arose and went over by count, 12 for Benjamin and Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And each one of them seized his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. And that day the battle was very severe, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel, and Asahel was as swift-footed as one of the gazelles which is in the field. And Asahel pursued Abner, and did not turn to the right or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner turned to look behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" And he answered, "It is I." So Abner said to him, "Turn to your right or to your left, and seize one of the young men for yourself, and take for yourself his spoil." But Asahel was not willing to turn aside from following him. And Abner repeated again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the belly with the butt end of the spear, so that the spear came out at his back. And he fell there and died on the spot. And it happened that all who came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. Now the sun was going down, and they came to the hill of Ammah, which is in front of Gia, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the sons of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became one band, and they stood on the top of a certain hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the end? How long will you refrain from telling the people to turn back from following their brothers?" And Joab said, "As God lives, if you had not spoken, surely then the people would have only gone away in the morning, each from following his brother." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued Israel no longer, nor did they continue to fight any more. But Abner and his men then went through the Arabah all that night, so they crossed the Jordan, walked all morning, and came to Mahanaim. Now Joab returned from following Abner, and he had gathered all the people together, and 19 of David's servants besides Asahel were missing. But the servants of David had struck down many of Benjamin and Abner's men, so that 360 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men went all night until the day dawned at Hebron. 2 Samuel 13. Now the war between the house of Saul and the house of David was long, and David grew steadily stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker continually. And the sons were born to David at Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab, by Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Arbital, and the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David at Hebron. Now it happened, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rispah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loving kindness to the house of Saul your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David, and yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman. May God do so to Abner and more also, if as Yahweh has sworn to David, I do not do this for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could no longer respond a word to Abner, because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, "Whose is the land? Cut your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to turn all Israel over to you." And he said, "Good, I will cut a covenant with you, but I ask one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping as he went, and followed her as far as Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." So he returned. Now Abner had consultation with the elders of Israel, saying, "In times past you were seeking for David to be king over you. So now do it. For Yahweh has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin, and in addition, Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, all that was good in the sight of Israel and in the sight of the whole house of Benjamin. Then Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, "Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may cut a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all that your soul desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. Now Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, and they told Joab, saying, "Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away? And he is already gone. You know, Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you, and to know of your going out and your coming in, to know all that you are doing." Then Joab came out from David and sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately. And there he struck him in the belly, so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterward, David heard it, so he said, "I and my kingdom are innocent before Yahweh forever of the blood of Abner the son of Ner. May it whirl on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and may one who has a discharge, or who is a leper, or who takes hold of a spindle, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread, not be cut off from the house of Joab." So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner, because he had put his brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and gird on sackcloth and lament before Abner." And King David walked behind the bier. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king chanted a lament for Abner and said, "Should Abner die as a wicked fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the unrighteous, you have fallen." And all the people continued to weep over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was still day. But David swore an oath, saying, "May God do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down." Now all the people took note of it, and it was good in their sight, just as everything the king did was good in the sight of all the people. So all the people and all Israel knew that day that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death. Then the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Thus I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May Yahweh repay the evildoer according to his evil." 2 Samuel 4. Then Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, and he lost courage, and all Israel was dismayed. Now Saul's son had two men who were commanders of bands. The name of one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, of the sons of Benjamin, for Beeroth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and have been sojourners there until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana, went forth and came to the house of Ishbosheth in the heat of the day while he was taking his midday rest. They came to the middle of the house as if to get wheat, and they struck him in the belly. And Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. Thus they came into the house as he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, and they struck him and put him to death, and beheaded him, and they took his head and went on the way leading to the Arabah all night. Then they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, "Behold the head of Ishbosheth the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. Thus Yahweh has given my lord the king vengeance this day on Saul and his seed." And David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brothers, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said to them, "As Yahweh lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, when one told me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hand, and purge you from the earth?" Then David commanded the young men, and they killed them, and cut off their hands and feet, and hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. 2 Samuel 5. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led out and brought in Israel. And Yahweh said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And King David cut a covenant with them in Hebron before Yahweh. Then they anointed David king over Israel. Now David was 33 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Then the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, 'You shall not come in here, but the blind and lame will turn you away,' thinking, 'David cannot enter here.' Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, that is the city of David. And David said on that day, 'Whoever would strike down the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, "The blind or the lame shall not come into the house." Then David lived in the fortress and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Milo and inward. And David became greater and greater, and Yahweh the God of hosts was with him. Then Hiram king of Tyre sent messengers to David with cedar trees and craftsmen of wood and craftsmen of stone walls, and they built a house for David. Thus David knew that Yahweh had established him as king over Israel, and that he had lifted up his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem, and after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Then the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel. So all the Philistines went up to seek out David, and David heard of it and went down to the fortress. Now the Philistines had come and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David asked of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And Yahweh said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal-perazim, and there David struck them down. And he said, "Yahweh has broken through my enemies before me, like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore he named that place Baal-perazim. And they forsook their idols there, so David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines yet again came up and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked of Yahweh, and he said, "You shall not go directly up. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. And it will be that when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly, for then Yahweh will have gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." Then David did so, just as Yahweh had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. 2 Samuel 6. Then David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of Yahweh of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. And they drove the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Now David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before Yahweh with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. Then they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, and Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, because the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of Yahweh burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of Yahweh's breaking out against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of Yahweh that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of Yahweh come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the Ark of Yahweh into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the Ark of Yahweh remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Then it was told to King David, saying, "Yahweh has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it happened that when those who were carrying the Ark of Yahweh had gone Then it happened as the Ark of Yahweh came into the city of David. I'm sorry, I completely lost my place. There we go. And so it happened that when those who were carrying the Ark of Yahweh, I'm sorry, I'm back at verse 13, carrying the Ark of Yahweh had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before Yahweh with all his strength. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of Yahweh with shouting and the sound of trumpet. Then it happened as the Ark of Yahweh came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the Ark of Yahweh and placed it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh. Then David completed offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, and he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh of hosts. And he apportioned to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each other. Then all the people went, each to his house. But David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel has glorified himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of all of his servants' maids, as one of the worthless ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before Yahweh who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Yahweh, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before Yahweh, and I will be esteemed even more lightly than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be glorified." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. All right. Sorry about that. Just as a pointer for anybody else that wants to do a podcast, make sure you turn all notification functionality off on whatever device your text is coming up on. Wow, that really threw my concentration off. Okay, so let's continue on. So John 13, we're going to read all of John 13 here. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of the world to his Father, having loved his own but who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had tied around himself. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not realize now, but you will understand afterwards.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet, ever.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak about all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' From now on, I am telling you before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives anyone I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he became troubled in spirit and bore witness and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking to one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him to inquire, Who is the one of whom he is speaking? He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He is the one for whom I shall dip the piece of bread and give it to him. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the piece of bread, Satan then entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, What you do, do quickly. Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were thinking because Jesus had the money box that Jesus was, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, Buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. John 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you have come to know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all so long, and have you not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Psalm 119, verse 1 through 32. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart. They also do not work unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. O may my ways be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have recounted all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will muse upon your precepts and look upon your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your slave, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a sojourner in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your slave muses on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have recounted my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will muse on your wondrous deeds. My soul weeps because of grief. Raise me up according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your judgments before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Yahweh, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Finally, Proverbs 15, let's see, verses 29 through 32. Let me find them. There we go. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Bright eyes gladden the heart. A good report puts fat on the bones. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will lodge among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises his soul, but he who listens to reproof acquires a heart of wisdom. The fear of Yahweh is the discipline leading to wisdom, and before glory comes humility. Oh, I went too far. I read through verse 33. Well, we'll read that one again tomorrow. All right, well, that is our reading for the day, and wow, was it long. Don't get me wrong, I love being in the Word of the Lord. It's just, I'm not used to having to read straight through for that long. All right, well, our evening devotion now. The text for it is from Acts 14:22. Continue in the faith. Perseverance is the badge of true saints. The Christian life is not a beginning only in the ways of God, but also a continuance in the same as long as life lasts. It is with a Christian as it is with the great Napoleon. He said, "Conquest has made me what I am, and conquest must maintain me." So under God, dear brother in the Lord, conquest has made you what you are, and conquest must sustain you. Your motto must be Excelsior. He only is a true conqueror and shall be crowned at the last, who continueth till war's trumpet is blown no more. Perseverance is therefore the target of all our spiritual enemies. The world does not object to you being a Christian for a time, if she can but tempt you to cease your pilgrimage and settle down to buy and sell with her in Vanity Fair. The flesh will seek to ensnare you and to prevent your pressing on to glory. It is weary work being a pilgrim. Come, give it up. Am I always to be mortified? Am I never to be indulged? Give me at least a furlough from this constant warfare. Satan will make many a fierce attack on your perseverance. It will be the mark for all his arrows. He will strive to hinder you in service. He will insinuate that you are doing no good, and that you want rest. He will endeavor to make you weary of suffering. He will whisper, "Curse God and die," or he will attack your steadfastness. What is the good of being so zealous? Be quiet like the rest. Sleep as do others. Let your lamp go out as the other virgins do. Or he will assail your doctrinal sentiments. Why do you hold to these denominational creeds? Sensible men are getting more liberal. They are removing the old landmarks. Fall in with the times. Wear your shield, Christian. Therefore close upon your armor and cry mightily unto God, that by his Spirit you may endure to the end. Amen to that. Absolutely, even especially in our times. Spurgeon was writing this not quite 200 years ago. But believe me, it applies to you and me now and in this world. All right. Well, that has been our show for the day. Again, I'm sorry I missed for those 3 days. Just couldn't help it with as sick as we got, ending up in the ER as it was. Again, I hope you have a wonderful day today. I hope you've got great weekend plans. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. If your weekend plans don't include worshiping with the saints, change them. Change them. That's not a request from me. I'm commanding you that, and I'm commanding you in the name of Christ, because he commands it, because God commands it. You need to worship with the saints, and watching it on TV is not the answer. Okay? Watching it on TV is not the answer. You've got to fix that. You've got to fix that. When you're sick and you got a miss, okay. When somebody has physical issues where they can't, I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. Those who aren't being bothered, and I've been one of those before. Watching it on video is not church. That's not what we're called to. So get into a service. And again, I will tell you again, vvb.church. You can go on our website. You can see when our services are and what our address is. Please this week come join us. I will be bringing the word of God from the pulpit. Pastor Jay has blessed me and allowed me to do so. But you should come any Sunday. Pastor Jay is wonderful. Definitely, definitely will bring conviction and enlightenment and equipage to walk your Christian walk or to bring you to a saving faith. So definitely worth your while. You coming to worship with us or going anywhere else to worship would be an answer to our prayers. All right. Well, like I said, I want to remind you about, of course, hang on a second. I apologize for not turning that off. Okay. So again, that is our show for the day. I want to remind you about the Give, Send, Go for my brother, Nathaniel Jolly. Again, I shared it on Facebook and Twitter. You should be able to find me on either under Wayne Floyd. Please go prayerfully consider helping that brother in Christ. He and his family and their church needs that help so badly. So please, please do that for them. We love them and we definitely want, we need their ministry to continue. It's great work. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We're going to close out with the sixth day evening prayer called the Mediator. Let's pray. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we hope in thy word. There we see thee not on a fearful throne of judgment, but on a throne of grace, waiting to be gracious and exalted in mercy. There we hear thee saying, not depart ye cursed, but look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. They that know thy name put their trust in thee. How many now glorified in heaven, and what numbers living on earth are thy witnesses, O God, exemplifying in their recovery from the ruins of the fall, the freeness, riches, and efficacy of thy grace. All that were saved by thee, and will through eternity exclaim, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and truth's sake. Thou hast chosen to transact all thy concerns within us through a mediator in whom all fullness dwells, and who is exalted to be Prince and Savior. To him we look, on him we depend, through him we are justified. May we derive relief from his sufferings without ceasing to abhor sin or to long after holiness. Feel the double efficacy of his blood, tranquilizing and cleansing our consciences. Delight in his service as well as in his sacrifice. Be constrained by his love to live not to ourselves, but to him. Cherish a grateful and cheerful disposition, not murmuring and repining if our wishes are not indulged, or because some trials are blended with our enjoyments, but sensible of our desert, and impressed with the number and greatness of thy benefits. May we bless and praise thee at all times. Amen. All right, again, have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.